Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Ksuvah's daf Tzadi. We are holding on daf Pei Tes Amud Beis at the Mishnah on the bottom of the page. Today's share is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, and Le'ili Nishmas, his mother, Golda Bas Simcha, La'ashalom, L'shem Shav Neliyah. It's also sponsored for Shana Tova and the Gemara Chasima Tova for all of Klal Yisrael. It's also sponsored by the Katzman family of Great Neck, wishing a Shana Tova to Klal Yisrael. And it's also sponsored by Mr. Yehuda Jacobowitz in memory of his father, Shmuel Ben Chaim Moshe, Zichron L'Brach, L'shem Shav Neliyah. It's also sponsored on behalf of Simcha Ben Amina Kohen Ben Yocheved for a full and speedy Refuah Shleima and a year of good health. Amen. Ken Yiratzon. We thank all of the sponsors very, very much for the sponsorship. So what we're going to discuss today is first the Mishnah is going to talk about how many ksubas a woman can collect if she was married to the same guy multiple times. So she may have multiple gittin to produce, she may have multiple ksubas to produce, she may have a get, and the fact that there was a misa sabal, so how many ksubas does she collect in those various cases? And then the last Mishnah in the ninth parak, on Amud Aleph, is going to talk about the chiyuv ksuba, if when they got married, the chiyuv wasn't there. Meaning when they got married, the guy was too young to be mechayev himself in anything, or they were not Jewish, and then they were megayer. So does the chiv ksuba transfer over to after he becomes a gadol, or after they become Jewish and they stay married to each other? Then, Beis Hashem, we move on to the 10th parak of Maseches Ksubas, and the Mishnah is going to talk about when a man owes a ksuba to two wives, who collects first? Which of the wives collects the ksuba first? The Gemara is going to discuss if a bal chov mu'uchar collects first, do they get to keep it? Meaning, what if the person who was supposed to collect second went and collected first, and now there's no money left for the person who was supposed to collect first? Does the person who collected second, who jumped the line and already collected, do they get to keep what they already collected? Then the Gemara on Amud Beis is going to make three diyukim from our Mishnah to derive three separate halachos. We're going to question whether the first two are valid diyukim, but three diyukim, three separate halachos. And then we're going to have an elaborate discussion about the first of the three dinim that were medayik from the Mishnah, which is a discussion of whether there's still a ksubas benin dichrin in the case of achas b'chaya v'achas b'moso. Meaning, what happens if a man marries two women, one predeceases him, and one that he predeceases. So he's sandwiched between the deaths of his two wives, so the children of the first wife aren't entitled to a ksuba, but they're entitled to a ksubas benin dichrin, whereas the children of the second wife are entitled to a ksuba. So do we assume that there's still a takanas ksubas min dichrin in such a case? And that discussion is going to bring us all the way to the end of the daf, into tomorrow's daf. So let's begin with the Mishnah on the bottom of daf, Pei Tes Amud Beis. So says the Mishnah, Shnei gitin u'shtei ksubas. A woman takes out two gitin from the same husband. So apparently they got divorced and they got remarried and they got divorced again. It happens sometimes, you hear about it all the time. And she has shtei ksubas that have two different zmanim on the two ksubas. So gova shtei ksubas. So obviously he wrote her a new ksuba with the second marriage, and therefore she can collect actually two ksubos. But shtei ksubos v'get echad. But if he only divorced her once and he wrote two ksubos before the divorce, so then you're only going to collect one ksuba, because if he wrote her two ksubos on one marriage, clearly his intention was that the second ksuba should be mevatel the first ksuba. Oh, ksuba v'shnei gitin, or if she has only one ksuba but two gitin, meaning he was megarish her once, and then when he remarried her, he didn't write her a new ksuba, it was al das, the original ksuba that he remarried her. Oh, ksuba v'get umisa, or there's one ksuba, but we know that the marriage ended twice, meaning the marriage ended in get, and then we saw that they were together again up until the time that he died. So you see that they got remarried, and the second marriage ended in his death. Then enugova el ksuba achas. In all those cases, since there's only one ksuba, they only collect one ksuba. You can't say that when he married her a second time, he was mechayiv himself in the second ksuba. Shamagarish tishto v'chzira amenas ksuba rishon v'chzira. The stam assumption is that if a person divorces his wife and then remarries her, it's working off of the chiyuv of the first ksuba, that there's not going to be a brand new chiyuv of a second ksuba. So we had said that if there are two ksubas in one get, she only collects one ksuba. But it doesn't say that she only collects the second ksuba, meaning that's what I would have thought, that the second ksuba comes to be mevatel the first. They were only married once. Why are there two ksubas? Obviously, he upgraded her, like some people on certain anniversaries, they'll upgrade the ring or something, right? So he obviously upgraded her. longer. So he was trying to give her only the second ksuba, but it doesn't say that. It says she collects one ksuba, but it doesn't identify which one. So Yibaya Bahai Gavya, Yibaya Bahai Gavya. The implication of the Mishnah is that she gets to choose which ksuba to use. So Leimatavi Tiyufta to Rav Nachman Amr Shmuel. Isn't this a Tiyufta on Rav Nachman Amr Shmuel? Dom Rav Nachman Amr Shmuel, because Rav Nachman Amr Shmuel told us that if someone sells a field to somebody else, or he lends him money, so there's Shnei Shtaros Hayotzin Bazeh Achar Zeh. So we have two Shtaros with two different Zmanim on the two Shtaros for the same thing. So Bitel Sheini Es Harishon. We assume that the second one is Mevatel the first one, that he wanted the second one to overpower the first one. So you can only collect from the Chasam Shubadim from the Zman in the second Shtar, because when he's writing the second Shtar, he's being Mochel the Shibud Karkaos from the Zman of the first Shtar. So isn't that a kasha? Shouldn't we ask on Shmuel from our Mishnah? Because our Mishnah sounds like you could collect with whichever one, even the earlier one. We don't assume the second one is Mevatel the first one. So it says, no, Lavid Maralah, Amar Rav Papa. Didn't we say about that Meimra that Rav Papa says that when we say that the second one is Mevatel the first one, that's only if there's no added stuff in the second Shtar. So you see clearly he only wrote the second Shtar to be Mevatel the first one. But Modar Rav Nachman, di Yosef Bey, Dikla, that if in the second Shtar he added an extra dekel litosefes kasve, then we assume that the purpose of writing the second Shtar was to add more of a chiyuv. So in the case of our Mishnah, it could also be that the second ksuba was for more value, was for more money, and therefore it's not coming to upend the first ksuba, it's coming to add to the first ksuba. So whatever shibud there was from the zman of the first ksuba is not going away. We're not being mochel that shibud. He's just trying to give a little more. So if she wants, she can collect with the first ksuba as well. So now the Braisa adds a few details on the din in the Mishnah. Tan Rabbanan, hotzia getu ksuba. If let's say a woman takes out a getu ksuba, umisa, and also edim that the husband had died, and she's claiming that she's entitled to two ksubas. So im get kodim l'ksuba, if the date on the get is before the date on the ksuba, so then we know that he wrote the ksuba after they were already divorced, must be because they got married a second time. So since he wrote her a ksuba for the second marriage, and she has a ksuba from the first marriage, so govish take ksubas. So then she's going to collect two ksubas. But ksuba kodemus l'get, if the date on the ksuba precedes the divorce, then ain't a gavel ksuba achas. Then she's only going to collect one ksuba because that was a ksuba from the first marriage. Shamigarish zisov echzira amnas ksuba rishon echzira, because the stam assumption is that if a man divorces his wife and then remarries that same wife, unless we have evidence of a second ksuba, we assume that it was working with the original ksuba, that it's just it becomes operative again when they get remarried. Says the Mishnah, katan sheisiu aviv. If let's say you have a katan whose father marries him off when he's still a katan, and the father writes a ksuba in the name of his katan child, in the name of his katan child, in the name of his 8-year-old, and then the katan becomes a gadol and he's still married to the same woman. So even though they wrote a ksuba when he was still a katan and he couldn't be mechayev himself in anything, maisa katan is eno klum ksubas hakayemes, the ksuba is still going to be intact when he becomes a gadol. Shalmanas ken kima, because when he decided to stay married to her when he became a gadol, and he didn't say, whoa, I didn't sign on for this ksuba, I was never mechayev myself, so by staying married to her, he's implicitly being mechayev himself in that original ksuba that his father signed him on for. Gershon Eskaira Ishto Imo. Similarly, if you have a ger whose wife converted with him, so they were married when they were goyim, and they wrote a ksuba, which meaning he wrote some sort of marriage contract, some sort of document that says that he's, that's the equivalent of a ksuba when they were non-Jews, and now they're both megayir ksuba sakayemes, so ksuba still kayem shalmanas kain kima, because it's almanas that chiv that is mechayiv himself in the original ksuba that he's mechayim her, that he stays married to her, and he's still chayiv in that ksuba. So it says Gemara Amra Funa, when we say that they have a ksuba la'achashik dilu or la, that's loshanu el manam asayim. That's only the manam asayim, the actual ikur ksuba, because that's a tanai bezdin. You don't need to have an operative ksuba to be chayiv manam asayim. Meaning, by showing that they want to be married, he's showing that he wants to be chayiv in whatever the bare minimum ksuba is, at the very least. Aval tosefes. But if there was more written into that ksuba, ein lo. She's not entitled to that because her actual original ksuba is really invalid. Meaning, the actual original ksuba that was written for the 8-year-old, or that was written for the two people who were they're not Jewish, now that they've become, now that the katan was niskadal, and now that the couple has become Jewish, the actual ksuba is not actually valid. It's just that there's an automatic tanai based in on the ikur ksuba. Rav Yehuda amar afilu tosefes yeshla. And Rav Yehuda says, no, she even gets the tosefes, because we assume that that when he's staying married to her, it's almanas that he's going to give her tosefes as well. So the Gemara asks on Rav Yehuda, meisvei, we have a brisa that tells us that if you have, let's say, a katan or a guy that gets married, and if he's niskadel or niskayer, so chidshu, no telas masha chidshu. If he adds to the first ksuba, so then she's entitled to that addition, but chidshu in, lo chidshu lo, the clear diuk is that only if he adds to the ksuba after the gerus or after he's niskadel, is she entitled to that. But if he didn't add anything, then she doesn't get any tosefes that was written in the first ksuba. Isn't that a kashan review? The review that says she's entitled to the tosefes as well. So ema af masha chidshu. So maybe we can explain the brisa that the woman gets not only the ikur ksuba, not only the tosefes, but even whatever he's mosif afterwards. But it's not coming to the exclusion of the tosefes. I frak the gemara v'halo tani hachi, but it doesn't say that in the brisa like Rav Yehuda. It says chidshu notelus masha chidshu lo chidshu psula besula gov masayim val manamana. It says if he was not mechadesh, not that she gets the ikur and the tosefes, but that just the manamasayim. So tiyufta Rav Yehuda. So you see clearly not like Rav Yehuda. So the Gemara explains that really the Brisa is clearly against Rav Yehuda, and Rav Yehuda masnisin at Yisei. He made a mistake in how to be mefarish our Mishnah. Who savar? He thought that the Mishnah means to say ksubasa keyames akula milsakai, that when we say ksubasa keyames after he's niskadal or after they're megayer, it's going on the whole ksuba, the manam asayim, the tosefes, velohi, but it's not true. I ikr ksuba kai, that's only really going on the ikr ksuba, not on the tosefes ksuba. So hajran lacha kosiv lishto, that concludes the ninth parak of Maseches Ksubas. Obviously, there's an interesting discussion in Tshuvas Yad Eliyahu. What if you have a gershin as Geyer and he had Gezel B'yado from Masha Gezel when he was a guy? Is he obligated to pay back the Gezel? Let's assume the object isn't here anymore to just give it back. So does he have an obligation to pay it back? So he brings a raya that the Ger would be Potter from our Gemara, because Gershin is Geyer, the Ishto Imo, the Ksuba is Kayam Almanat, because we assume that that's why he stayed married. But the Gemara says, not really, the Ksuba is not really Kayam, it's just that he's Chayiv in the Manam Asayim, because that's a Tanai Bezdin. But anything else that he was Mechayiv himself in, like the Tosefes Ksuba, the Shtar is a Chasma B'Alma, whatever Chiyuvim he had when he was a non-Jew, now he's a Kekatan Shinola Dami, those Chiyuvim go away. One has to be very careful about that. Maybe Batei Din should ask about that, because that could be a motivation for a person to be Megayer. He owes all this money, he's going to be Chayiv to pay all this money. Oh, now I'm a Kekatan Shinola, now I'm reborn, I don't have to pay anything. But anyway, that's a discussion in the poskim. So now we begin Bezal Hashem, the 10th parak of Maseches Ksubas. Misha Yinosu Shtei Nashim Umei. So a person was married to two wives, and then he died while both wives were, he predeceased both of them, and they come to collect their ksubas. So Rishon Kadam Sushniya, the first wife collects first in the ksuba. Her ksuba is dated earlier than the second wife's ksuba. The Yorshe Rishon Kodam in the Yorshe Shniya. And if both wives die after the husband dies, before they had a chance to collect their ksuba, so just like the first wife would come before the second wife, the first set of Yarshim comes before the second set of Yarshim. So now the Mishnah discusses a different case. We said that when a woman dies, b'chaye b'ayla, when she dies, when she predeceases him, he Yarshins her and her ksuba, but the Chum were masakin this thing called ksubas b'nin dichrin, that her male children from that marriage are going to be Yorish, her ksuba from him, and the rest of the nechasim, they'll split equally with his children from other marriages as well. So now our Mishnah is going to talk about if after the husband dies, the children from a woman who predeceased him come to collect their ksubas b'nin dichrin. And on the other hand, he has a wife or children of a wife that died after him that are tovei of the ksuba, that are tovei of their mother's ksuba. Meaning, a woman is only entitled to a ksuba if the husband dies before her. So he has one wife that died before him, where there's no entitlement to a ksuba, but her sons are entitled to ksubas b'nin dichrin, and one wife that died after him, where her children are entitled to collect the actual ksuba. So Nasa Sarishana Umesa, he marries a first wife and she dies before him. Nasa Shnia Umesu, then he marries a second wife and he dies before her. So Shnia Vyarsha, Kodman, Vyarsha Rishona, the collection of the ksuba comes before the collection of the ksuba spin and dichrin, because the ksuba itself is a chov. The ksuba spin and dichrin is considered a yerusha. And the halacha is that the yarshim have to first pay off all the chovos before they could take their portion of the yerusha. So all the chovos have to be paid off. One of those chovos is a ksuba. So now, says the Gemara, midiktani rishona kodemes l'shnia, from the fact that, going back to the first part of the Mishnah, where the first halacha in the Mishnah just said, stam, he had two wives that are both entitled to collect the ksuba, so the first one collects first. And it doesn't say, v'lo ketani rishona yesh la v'ashnia ein la. It doesn't say that the rishona is the only one to collect, and the second one doesn't get anything. So mechlal di kadma shnia v'tavsa lo mafkina mina. The implication is that if the second one were to go ahead, jump the line and grab her ksuba payment before the first one, then lo mafkina mina, we wouldn't take it away from her, because she was also owed the money, and even though there are insufficient funds to pay both of them, and there was a seder kedima over here, but by jumping the line, it's a chote niskar over here. She's going to be able to keep that which she took. So shema mina balchov meuchar shakadim v'gava masha gava gava. So you see from here that if a balchov meuchar goes and grabs something, you have this happens all the time by balichov, that they get the sense that the person who owes them money is in trouble, so they do whatever they can to recoup the money that they, and that even though they may be aware that there are other people that are owed money also, but they want to recoup the money. They know that they're not. So the balchov meuchar goes and recoups some of their money. So the halacha is masha gava gava, says the Gemara, or the implication of our Mishnah is masha gava gava. So it says Gemara, no, the olam emelach masha gava lo gava. Maybe that's not true. Maybe if balchov meuchar comes and jumps the line and takes first, he's not entitled to keep it. Umay kodemes, when it says that the first one is kodemes l'shnia, it doesn't mean just l'chachila, l'gamri katani. It means that the second one doesn't get anything. Ben kodem l'bas. And I'll bring you a raya that the word kodemes can mean that sometimes. It means that the one who's not kodem, not just that they're second in line, but they get nothing. Because it says ben kodem l'bas l'yerusha. When you have sons and daughters, the sons get yerusha, the daughters don't. So it's not kedima from that perspective. That's an interesting discussion in Poskim also, actually. Poskim discuss, we have dinim of kedima when it comes to tzedakah. An ye ircha kodmin. B'nei mishpacha are kodmin. Does that mean they are the only ones to get? That if you have X number of dollars to give to tzedakah, you have to only give to aniyim of your mishpacha, and if you're fortunate enough not to have aniyim in your mishpacha, only to aniye yircha, and if you're fortunate enough to live in a city, or unfortunate, I don't know, to live in a city that has no aniyim, so then only aniye Eretz Yisrael. So the Marsham has a tshuva about this. The Aruch HaShulchan says it's unthinkable. It's unthinkable that it would be only, that it would be exclusively to aniyim of your city. He said that, then he said that everyone is so poor, anybody who doesn't have a rich relative, those poor people will never get anything, because anytime there's a rich person, every rich person has enough aniyim in his family to take up all of his tzedakah money and more. That was the fact at that time. Baruch Hashem, you know, the conditions have changed. He says it's also obvious. He writes that when we say parnasa, that your own parnasa is kodem to everybody else, you know, to giving tzedakah to other people, it also doesn't mean that you give only to yourself, even if you're struggling. He says, because then nobody would ever give tzedakah. Everybody's struggling, which again, it's a commentary on the time that he lived. But anyway, so says the Gemara. The Gemara brings on Moroyim that are medayik the exact opposite from our Mishnah. Ikadamri, another version of the conversation is Mitulo Katani im Kadma Shnia Vitavsa Ein Motzi in Miyada, from the fact that the Mishnah does not say that if the second woman goes and is toe-faced that we don't take it away from her. Mechaldi Kadma Shnia Vitavsa Mafkina Mina. The implication is that we do take it away from her. You can't jump the line, and she goes and takes the ksuba before the first woman, then we're going to take it away. So Shvamina Balchav Mukhav Shkadma Gav Mashagav Lo Gava. So we make the opposite to you from our Mishnah, and therefore it would turn out that if a later Balchov comes and tries to collect, it doesn't work. We take it away from him. So it says, well, no, the Olam Emelach Masha Gava Gava. Maybe really he gets to keep it. And the only reason we use the term Kodmin is because, since we say in the Seifa that the Shnia V'Yorsheha come before the people who are collecting the Ksubas V'Nedichrin, so Tananami, so in the Reisha we also say, Rishona Kodemes, Shnia. So now the Gemara moves on to make three diyukim la'alacha from the next case in our Mishnah. We said Nasar is a Rishonah. The case of the Mishnah was a guy gets married to a woman, she predeceases him. He gets married again, he predeceases his second wife. Second wife is entitled to Uksuba. First woman's children are entitled to Ksubas Binin Dichrin. So we said that the Shni of Yorsheha are Kodmin the Yorshe Harishona. So Shmamina Tla, says Gemara, you see three halachas from here. Number one, Shmamina Achas Bechaya Va'achas Bemoso Yeshlan Ksubas Binin Dichrin. You see that the second Ksuba doesn't cancel the Ksubas Binin Dichrin of the first Ksuba. Because you see that the second Ksuba is getting paid as a chov that she's entitled to pay, and the children of the first woman are still coming to collect their ksubas bin dichrin. Now I might have thought that in such a case the chum are not misaking ksubas bin dichrin, so that they don't come to fight, that the second one shouldn't come to fight with the bnei harishona, and they're going to tell them that they're not masking that betoris yerusha, that the first ones are going to get a yerusha from the father more than them, meaning why should they get a greater portion of the Yerusha? Why should the children of the first wife get a greater portion of the Yerusha? So the Mishnah's Mechadesh, lo cheshinu mentsuyeh, that we're not choshesh, that they're going to fight, there's a ksubas ben dichrin, it's still in place. So says Mar Mimai, how can you be medayik that from the Mishnah? Midiktani shnei v'yorsheh kod min v'yorsheh rishona, it says that the shnei v'yorsheh come before the yorsheh rishona, miktam hu dekadmi, ha'ika shakli, that only means that they're first in line. But if there's enough to go around to pay the ksuba and also to pay the ksubas bin adichrin to the bnei arishona, then you do that. So that's one halacha that we see, that when the husband's death was sandwiched between his two wives' deaths, so the children of the first wife are going to get their ksubas bin adichrin. Ushma mina a second in that ksuba nasas most of the chaverta, that the yorshim of the second wife will collect from the yerusha as a chov of the ksuba for the father, and that becomes a mosar for the other one, for the ksubas bin adichrin, meaning the halacha is that ksubas bin adichrin is only operative if there's also something that's going to go be Yerusha. If there's not even a mosar dinar that's going to go be Yerusha, then we cancel the ksubas bin adichrin, because there has to be some real Yerusha d'oraisa in order to allow for these takanos d'rabbanan like ksubas bin adichrin. So what if there is a Yerusha, but all of that is paying off a chov of the ksuba that was owed to the second wife? Yeah, that counts as a mosar. That's considered a real Yerusha. There was a Yerusha, it paid off the chov of the second ksuba, and now the ksubas bin adichrin is still going to be in place. Mimai, midalokatani im yeshem mosar dinar. And we can be medayik this from the fact that the Mishnah never made a qualification that you need an additional mosar dinar. It just said that you're going to give the ksuba to the children of the second wife, and you can give the bin adichrin to the children of the first wife without qualifying that you need a mosar dinar. So apparently, you don't need a mosar dinar. And a third din, ushma mina, ksubas bin adichrin lo tarfa mimishabdi, that when they're coming to collect the ksubas bin adichrin, then they cannot be torif from lekuchos, from people who had purchased properties. Because if you can assume that ksubas bin adichrin is like any other chov, and the yorshim that have ksubas bin adichrin are able to collect from the chasim shubadim, so why does the Mishnah say that the yorshe hashnia are kodmim and collect their ksuba, and the yorshe rishona don't get anything? Let the children of the first wife, who are entitled to ksubas bin adichrin, go to the children of the second wife, who just got their ksuba, and take their karka that they just got b'yerusha, because the balchov meuchar shekadim v'gava, mashagava lo gava. You can't jump the line, so they were entitled to the money first. Elamai, you see that there is no shibud nechasim on ksubas bin adichrin. If it's there, it's there. If the money's there, it gets paid. If it's not there, then it doesn't get paid. So now Rav Ashi says, you know, I have a problem with the first two dinim that you were medayik from the Mishnah. Mask for Rav Ashi, mimai, how do you know that all these dinim are true? Let's take the first one. Maybe I'll tell you achas b'chaya va'achas b'moso, that if one wife predeceases him and therefore her sons want the ksubas bin adichrin, and the other wife dies after him and her children want the ksuba, maybe ain lem ksubas bin adichrin. Maybe in such a case the chachamim were never misakin ksubas bin adichrin. Oh, you're going to tell me that it used the word kodmin, and that implies that the ksubas were indifferent still gets paid. My kodmin, why does it say kodmin? Lenachla katani. That's talking about the Yerusha, that before they divide the Yerusha equally, the Yorshe Shnia are gova the ksuba of their mother. And then whatever's left over, they divide as an even Yerusha with all the children of this deceased gentleman. But it is not about ksubas were indifferent. B'chitema, and if you're going to say that since the Yorshe Rishon are not mekabel ksubas were indifferent, Yorshe HaRishon Lamali, why does the Mishnah refer to them as Yorshe HaRishona, as if like they're coming because of who their mother was? If there's no ksubas ben dichron, it's got nothing to do with who their mother was. Whatever money they're going to receive is because of who their father is. It's only because of the fact that it's a basic Yerusha that they're dividing with all of their father's children. So I did Tana Shnia V'Yorsheha Tanami Yorshe HaRishona. Yeah, that's just to keep the Lashon of the Mishnah consistent, because when the children of the second woman are collecting the ksuba, that's their mother's ksuba. So we say Shnia V'Yorsheha. So therefore, when we talk about the children of the first wife, we say Yorshe HaRishona as well. Okay, so that's why I don't like the first deal, Udekamrit, and that which you want to be Medaik, a second in, that Ksuba Nasas Mosul Chaverta, that even though Ksuba Sun Dichrin is only operative when there's a Mosul Dinar, the Ksuba that goes to the second wife is the Mosul Dinar. Maybe that's not true. And the reason why the ksubas ben dichron gets paid over here is we're talking b'chiyah gavna. That's not such a strange ukimta to make, to say that we're talking b'chiyah gavna, that there's also a mosar dinar that can be divided normally in the Yerusha. Maybe that just happens to be the case of the Mishnah. So now we go back. We're not going to attack the third din. The third din apparently stays intact. But we're going to go back and discuss that first din of achas b'chaya v'achas b'moso. One of his wives predeceased him, and therefore her children want a ksubas ben dichrin, and one of his wives dies after him, and those children get their ksuba. So we said that the ksuba gets paid before the ksubas ben dichrin. V'achas b'chaya v'achas b'moso tanoihi. It's actually machlokas tanoim whether there still is a ksubas ben dichrin in such a case. Titania, because the Braisa tells us as follows: mesu achas b'chaya v'achas b'moso. Our exact case. One wife predeceases him and the other wife dies after him. Benana says that the children of the first wife who died while he was alive are able to tell the children of the second wife who died after the husband died that b'nei balas chovatem, you are coming to collect a chov. A ksuba is a chov. So, and in that, the din of Yerusha d'Oraisa is fulfilled and you don't need a mosar dinar. So, t'lu ksuba simcha mutzu, you collect that chov, you collect that ksuba, and then go away, and we'll take everything else as ksubas ben dichrin, meaning the rest of it is going to be ours. Rabbi Akiva Omer Kvar Kavtza Nakla. Rabbi Akiva says, no, from the moment the husband died, when his second wife was still alive, the ksubas ben dichrin went away. Milafnei b'nei Rishona, the Nakla went away from the b'nei Rishona, v'nafnei b'nei Ashniya, and only the b'nei Ashniya are in place. So once they collect their ksuba, once the b'nei Ashniya collect their ksuba, the rest of the estate doesn't go to the ksubas ben dichrin. The rest of the estate gets divided evenly among all of the father's children. From all the marriages, it will be divided evenly. It's not about the ksubas ben dichron. Ksubas ben dichron went away. So my love, v'akomivki, don't you see this is a machlokas tanoim? Dimar sever benanas holds achas b'chayav v'achas b'moso yeshan ksubas ben dichron. Then when you have achas b'chayav v'achas b'moso, ksubas ben dichron is still intact. Umar sever, Rabbi Kiva holds, no. Achas b'chayav v'achas b'moso ain't ksubas ben dichron. That the ksubas ben dichron is no longer intact. So Amarav Ashkachtin and Rabban Debe Rav the Asi Bikamri. Rabba said, I saw the Rabban Debe Rav that were sitting in this medrash and they were explaining this machlokas, and they said, no. Dukuli al machas b'chay v'achas b'moso, yeshan ksubas ben dichrin. Maybe everyone agrees to din number one, that the ksubas ben dichrin is still intact. Maybe what they're arguing about over here is din number two. Does the ksuba count as a mosar dinar, which would then allow for the ksuba ben dichrin to stay intact? So Mar Savra Benanas holds ksuba nasas mosar chaverta vuadin lebalchov, that a ksuba is the mosar dinar, and therefore the ksuba ben dichrin is intact. And by the way, the same would be true about any other chov. Ksuba is just an example of a chov, but at any time some of the money is going to be used to pay off a chov of the father. That counts as Yerusha, and therefore ksubas ben dichrin is still intact. Umar Savra Rabbi Kiva holds ain't ksuba nas mosa lechaverta v'adin lebalchov, that ksuba does not become mosa lechaverta. It does not count as the moser dinar, and therefore the ksubas ben dichrin is cancelled if you don't have a moser dinar. And the same would be true about a balchov, that it would not count. Einalu Ana. So Rabba says, when they were saying this, I told them that you're partially right. B'balchov kuliyam l'pligi da'havi moser. Ki pligi b'ksuba. That, you know, maybe by a balchov, everyone would agree that if there was some other type of chov, that would count as the moser dinar, and therefore the ksuba spin and dichrin would still be intact. The whole machlokas is only about a ksuba. So maskvar Rav Yosef, ihachi Rabbi Akiva omakvar kavtza nachla, im yesh moser dinar mibayle. But if it was really about din number two, about whether this counts as moser dinar, then Rabbi Akiva's wording is off. He should have said, im yesh moser dinar. It sounds like he's saying something else. Elam Rav Yosef, baks b'chai baks b'moser kamifugi. It sounds like we were correct the first time, that this machlokas tanoim is about the concept of achas b'chayav, v'achas b'moso. Okay, but tomorrow we'll pick up with v'hani tanoi, ki hani tanoi. Gemar chasimatova to everybody.